This past week, I came across the toddler property laws, and my goodness, did it bring back all kinds of memories when our kids were that age. See if you can relate to these. So if you're a toddler, this is it. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it at any time in the past, it's mine. It must never appear to be yours in any way, because it is always and forever mine. Do you remember that in your kids or your grandkids? Yeah, some of you ladies are saying, I remember that in my husband when it comes to the remote. If we're honest about it, all of us have seen things and said, that's going to be mine. We said, I've just got to have it. Maybe it's a convertible, maybe it's a power tool, maybe it's clothes, maybe it's a person, because we can go after both people and possessions, and we say that it's got to be mine. Today we're going to get into the Ten Commandments, but most specifically, we're going to get into the last two, which deal with coveting. Coveting is more than just wanting something. It goes beyond wanting something. All right, let's pick the story back up. Last week, we left off. The people of Israel were camped at Rephidim. There, God gave them water miraculously. Since that time, they have packed up, and now they've gone off to Mount Sinai. They're at the base of Mount Sinai, which is God's mountain, and here, God is going to speak to his people through Moses. Here, God is going to give them his commandments. He's really going to form them into a nation. Right? So early one morning, Moses gathers the people at the foot of the mountain. Let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 19. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. I've passed over that, I don't know how many times. Brought them out of the camp to meet God. Pick it up on verse 19. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Can you put yourself in that spot in your mind's eye for just a moment? You're camped out, the base of this mountain. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's smoke, there's this loud trumpet blast, right? Moses says, I'm going to introduce you to God. And they're like, come on out so you can meet God. And then Moses speaks and God answers in thunder. What a display of power and might from God, and what a display of the relationship between God and his servant Moses. God sets it up this way before Moses ascends the mountain to hear from him. So obviously, whatever he has to say is of utmost importance, and the people of Israel better listen to him when he comes back down. Moses ascends to the mountain, and God gives him what we know are the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments, there's only one thing that's mentioned twice. Coveting. Coveting doesn't get just one commandment, it gets two commandments. You say, well, why is that? Because God repeats what's important. God repeats what's important. So let's understand coveting. Coveting isn't an action. No, no. It's a precipitating thought, desire, or lust that leads to sinful actions. This is what makes it different from all the rest of the commandments. And frankly, this is what makes it the most dangerous. This isn't something that we do that's external, but this is a precipitating thought. It's a desire. It's a lust that then leads to all kinds of sinful actions. Right? Coveting isn't just wanting something. Right? We all want things. Right? There's nothing wrong with wanting things. Let me be clear on that. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. There's nothing wrong with acquiring things. But you see, coveting goes beyond that, right? Because coveting isn't an action, but this precipitating thought or desire or lust for something. So for instance, King David. King David, before he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he lusted after her, he coveted her, he said, she's going to be mine. That's where it began, and that's what led to the sinful action. So coveting isn't just wanting something. Coveting is an insatiable desire or lust that says, I'm going to get it, whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to make it mine. See, sometimes I think that we pass right over the two coveting commandments. We don't pay much attention to them. And I think the reason being is because all the other eight, that's an action that can be avoided. That's something that others could see in us. But when it comes to coveting, coveting is very, very private. Coveting is what is happening in your heart. Nobody else knows what's going on in your heart and in your mind. And that's what makes it dangerous. Because coveting is this precipitating thought, this desire, this lust, which leads to all kinds of sinful actions. And if that isn't bad enough, coveting comes naturally to us. In our sinful nature, in the fallen world, coveting comes naturally to us. Being content with what we have does not. Being content, that takes effort. That takes practice to be content with what we have. So that's why I want to zero in on the last two, because I see them as so dangerous to us because of what they can lead to. So what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this titanic of desire to acquire things that leads us to all kinds of sinful actions? Well, I'll offer you three things this morning. The first one is this: realize the sequence. There's a sequence that's followed, and we want to try and see if we can circumvent that sequence, but we have to recognize it first. The sequence is this: see, covet, take. We see something, we covet it, and we'll take it no matter what it takes to get it. Whatever it takes to get it, that's what we're going to do. We can see it in the scriptures. In fact, we can see it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 with the fall of mankind. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired or coveted to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. You see the sequence? She saw it. It was a delight to the eyes, right? She coveted after it, and then she took the fruit and ate it. That same sequence happens another six times in Scripture. You see it, you covet it, and then you take it. Now, what happens for us is, because we don't take coveting very seriously, is we just pass it all off. We rationalize it. We explain it away. Oh, I'm just window shopping. Yeah, I'm just browsing. Yeah, I'm just looking. Well, in today's world, it's even worse, because you don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go to the car lot. You can sit down in your patio with your tablet or your computer or your phone, and you can look at literally tens of thousands of items and tens and thousands of people, because we can covet not only possessions, but people as well. Now, am I saying to you that you should never go to Amazon? No. Am I saying you should never go to the mall? No. Never go to a car lot? No. I'm not saying any of that, right? That would be foolish. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. There's nothing wrong with acquiring things. It's when in our hearts we turn the corner and it becomes an insatiable desire or lust that will do whatever it takes to make it mine. That's when we get into trouble. So what I am saying is we need to have self-awareness. You need to have self-awareness. So when you're wanting something, right, now when does it cross over into coveting? Maybe the best way to look at this, let's contrast see, covet, take with see, save, celebrate. They're very, very different, and their outcomes are very, very different. It begins with we see something, okay? We see something, we say, I want that. But the difference here is, says that if it's something I'm going to purchase, I'm going to save up for it, and I'm going to wait until I can get it legitimately, and I'm going to be okay, by the way, if I never get it. I want it, but I understand if I can, I can never get it. But if I do, then I can celebrate. Same thing with people. Maybe there's a relationship you want. Maybe there's a person that you find attractive. Okay, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to do it the godly way, and if it's appropriate, then I'm going to celebrate. It's very different than see, covet, take, because the outcome is very different. When we follow see, covet, take, whatever that is will forever be tainted. If we see something, we covet it, and then we whatever takes, we get it. So we lie for it, we steal, we cheat, maybe we step on a couple people to climb the ladder, whatever we might do, and we finally possess it, it'll be tainted because of the way that you got it. If you make a very, very foolish financial decision and you go on a limb, right, and you do something that like that and you get it, it's tainted, right? Same thing with a relationship. If a relationship starts from an affair, if it starts from adultery, that relationship will forever be tainted because that's how it began. Very, very different from see, save, celebrate. We see something, we want it, nothing wrong with that. So we save up for it, we get it in a godly way, and now we celebrate. Or we see someone, we wait for the relationship with that person or somebody else, and then when it finally comes to fruition, then we celebrate because it's just not tainted. Are you with me on this? It's very different. That's where coveting comes in. Coveting is subtle. Coveting is hard. Because it's all going on in here. It means that we have to be very, very self-aware. So recognize the sequence so that you can circumvent the sequence. But the only way we're going to do that is you got to rely on your Redeemer. If you think that you can do this on your own, you're fooling yourself, and we fool ourselves more often than not. Because we'll say, oh, that's fine. If I see something and I'm going down the road of coveting, I just won't look anymore. Yeah, if I see a person, I find myself lusting after them, I just won't look anymore. Or worse than that, we'll convince ourselves, yeah, I've got those desires, but I'll never act on those desires. How well has that worked in the past for you? Not so good for me. Right? That's why we've got to rely on our Redeemer. If we think that we can just by sheer willpower not covet, or that we can just convince ourselves that we're going to be content with what we have, we'll fail every time. We go to St. Paul. He wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. He says, I have discovered the secret of being content. This is what he says. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul says, I'm not going to do it alone. There's no way. He couldn't face all the things that he faced. He says, I have got a power source. I've got a source of strength. I've got a source of strength from God himself. When your heart starts changing, when the sinful desires come in, right, when all of a sudden you're slipping over into this lust, that's when you run back to Jesus. And you call upon the name of Jesus, and you call upon him in prayer, and you rely on him to give you strength for that moment and the moments ahead. You go into the Word of God, and you refresh yourself in that, and you strengthen yourself in that. You can't go it alone. You see the sequence, you want to circumvent the sequence, then you've got to rely on your Redeemer and his strength and his power in your life. The third thing that I want to share with you, which is probably the most important, that in all of this, remember you are his. God says, you are mine. Whenever we come to the Ten Commandments, we will be convicted. Whether we're looking at 1, 2, 5, 7, or 8, or 10, we will be convicted. In fact, if we're honest about it, we're guilty on all counts. And we'll be convicted of the things that we've done, and we know that we haven't lived up to God's standard. Remember this, you are his. Listen to the words that he spoke in Exodus 19. God said, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. See, God can say it's mine, everything. Everything in the world and the universe, he can say it's mine. And he says, and of all those things, You are my treasured possession. Warts and all, covetous thoughts, sinful actions, God still says, you are his treasured possession. Listen to what he said through the prophet Isaiah. He says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not. God has redeemed you through the blood of his son Jesus, spilt upon the cross of Calvary. He's redeemed you. For Jesus paid the debt of all of your sin and all of my sin. And now God calls you by name, and he calls me by name, and he says, you are mine. Coveting is hard, folks. It's hard to know the difference, and it's going on inside of us. But coveting is that insatiable desire that says, I'll do whatever it takes to get it. Coveting is that lustful desire that leads over into sinful actions. What we can do to stay faithful to God is recognize the sequence and then try and circumvent it. It's see, covet, take. But relying on your Redeemer, relying on his strength, on his power, on his wisdom, you can circumvent that. And then above all else, and if you know nothing else, know that God says you are his, that you are his treasured possession. God says, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, issues of the heart are always a challenge to us. There are subtleties there that can be missed. We need to rely upon our Redeemer. We need to rely upon your Son, Savior. We rely upon him for our salvation. We rely upon him for our strength so that we can remain faithful to you. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be